What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Diesel Power Products Podcast.
America's Diesel Podcast.
That's right, we changed it.
Yeah, presented by Diesel Power Products.
Damn, we look good.
Damn.
Oh, the new picture is so cool. Like, one of our producers changed it, and then we saw it, and I was just like, yes.
Yes.
That's so sick.
Yes.
Anyhow, thank you for tuning in. If you're, I don't know what medium you're watching this on right now, but we are on Google Play, SoundCloud, iTunes. We just recently got on Spotify as well.
Yep.
If you watch us on Facebook, so you can interact with us live on Facebook. Today, or reviews.
Reviews.
Almost forgot the reviews. Yes. You guys are killing it with
killing
the reviews.
It. Loving it.
Super appreciate that. If you take a review, screenshot that bad boy, send it to Ben at Diesel Power Products or Tyler at Diesel Power Products, we will send you a shirt with a dank meme and make it top your butt crack sweat.
Yes. For sure.
For sure. Awkward laugh.
Yes.
So today's episode, we have actually, so we've started a couple of different series. I'm going to hate myself as part of the podcast. And we're going to start a new one, and I think it's going to work really well. And we're actually, I think we're going to get into deep here. This is going to be a Tyler heavy episode. So if you really like me talking, this is not your episode.
It's not your episode.
I'm sorry. But if you like Tyler, which you should,
yeah.
This is your episode.
Woo-hoo.
I'm going to chime in, but it's his forte. This series is going to be called No Start, No Problem.
Yeah.
No Start, No Problem.
So a while back, Cummins is kind of like, I don't want to say it's like my specialty. It's just kind of the one that I know about the most, I would say. And we commonly get questions on, you know, hey, I'm having trouble starting my rig, you know, or long crank time, or just won't even start. And so I had sat down one day and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to kind of write down like a whole walkthrough on like kind of like the backyard mechanic way of trying to diagnose this, to where you're that guy that's got your basic hand tools, you kind of that do-it-yourselfer, but you don't want to go spend the $120 an hour at a shop for something that you think you could fix yourself, which in many cases, it possibly could be something you could fix yourself. So I sat down and I wrote down this whole kind of walkthrough, and I get questions on it to this day. And I wrote it like 4 years ago or something like that. So
I still refer to it sometimes.
Yeah, it's a it's a pretty good. I mean, not to, pretty decent there, but it's just a good walkthrough on kind of some of the basics that you would want to check. And so the truck that we're going to kind of go over today is going to be the 5.9 Cummins, specifically the common rail. So the specific walkthrough that I did was tuned towards the 03 to 07 5.9 common rail, which a lot of this stuff will carry over to the 6.7 as well, which we'll do an episode on that, just because there's just a few differences as far as connections and location of some parts and that sort of thing. So we'll address those ones later, but this one specifically is going to be for your 5.9 03 to 07 Cummins. No start. You got a truck that won't start. What do you do? What's the first thing you do?
First thing you do,
call your
buddy. Put the truck on the phone. Yeah, you call your friend whose friend's dad's brother's uncle was a diesel tech in the army for like tractors and tanks from 40 like, years ago.
Yep.
And you tell him about common rail injection.
Because the technology is the same.
Yeah, common rail injection. He goes, first thing you do is like, I would say don't panic and don't get frustrated.
Yeah.
It's easy to get frustrated. Take a minute, take a breath before you call the tow truck, before you tell your wife you need to get a new truck.
Yeah.
Just take a minute. And there's some easy stuff that you can do to point yourself in the right direction.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too, if you have a pretty well taken care of truck, it more than likely is one of these easy things that you can get knocked out fairly easy. So the first thing that I would recommend checking on a 5.9 Cummins no start, check the batteries. Just check the batteries.
It's so simple, but it happens all the time.
Well, the thing with the 5.9 Cummins specifically, if that ECM doesn't see 9 volts under a load, like it will not turn on, it will not start.
Like and the computer will not even it won't power turn up.
And so what most people do when they're checking battery voltage is they'll just take their multimeter. Oh, it's got 12 volts. Well, okay, that's not the right way to test it, because you're not testing that battery under a load. It could have a surface charge of 12 volts on it all day long, but until you kick that starter over and put a load on it, you could drop battery voltage. As the chief of the United States would say, bigly. You drop bigly. So
it's a technical term.
So first things first, If you, especially if you have bad batteries and you know they haven't been replaced in a while, mm-hmm. you might just have a battery issue. So boom, easy fix, right?
Yeah. Could it could not be the issue, but I would say that's kind of one of those things where if you know your batteries aren't good, like you want to fix things as you go. Don't yeah. jump to the last step. But if you're like, ah, my battery's like, meh, you should probably just replace them.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing with any with anybody that has like a no start condition on their truck, they automatically think it's the worst thing.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on, stop. Guilty. Start ruling out the easy things first. Mm-hmm. Start ruling things out. If you know you can, okay, I know how to test batteries, well, let's rule those out. Mm-hmm. Start finding things that are working to find the thing that isn't. So
I've heard you say that before on the phone, and actually, yeah. I stole it from you. You know, the frame mind of, okay, let's stop focusing on all the things going wrong.
Yeah,
let's
what's
focus
working?
On what's going right.
Yeah.
And yeah. I've used that personally, yeah. like on the Suburban, like yeah. let's focus on what's going right and yeah. work from there.
Yeah, you're just taking a different perspective with it. And sometimes that opens your eyes to see something you may not have seen in the beginning. Next thing. If you have the ability to, I know, you know, and I don't even know this sequence of doing it with like the pedal, but checking for codes. Mm-hmm. And a code isn't going to tell you what's wrong with the vehicle. I know we've discussed this before. It's just going to give you an area to look. It's going to give you an area to start your look, you know, somewhere, whether it be, you know, a voltage code or a sensor code or a crank position, you know, whatever. It's going to give mm-hmm. you some sort of indication on where the issue is occurring. But a lot of times on these trucks, you're not going to have any codes. So I just added that in there. Something to check if you have the ability to check it. If not, oh well, we can still kind of go through the test here.
Like you hit the key like three times or something like that and yeah. hold the brake or something.
I don't know. Sit on your hand and
yeah. wave at your neighbor.
They wait for the codes. Okay, now moving on from checking codes. If you don't have any codes, what's next? Okay, we're gonna start with the fuel. First of all, does it have fuel? Is there fuel in the tank?
I had a guy get so pissed off when I asked that. I'm like, is
what
that
if,
fuel?
What if your gauge isn't reading?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. What if your gauge isn't reading right? Yeah. What if there's something wrong with something the pickup? So it could definitely happen. Are there any fuel leaks? Can you look in underwear? Can you look under the truck and see like a big section under the truck is all wet mm-hmm. with fuel? I mean, is there something going on there? Next, when was the last time you changed the fuel filter? It's something relatively simple that a lot of people will overlook. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, they can plug, especially if you get a bad batch of fuel. It can plug, it can
bad
happen.
Bad batch, weather changes, get super cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the basics you would check for. Now we're gonna start getting kind of a little bit more in depth in the truck. And we're gonna start with, again, the fuel. What's fueling the truck? The lift pump. One of the most common things to fail on these trucks is the lift pump. So just first of all, bump the key, see if it's turning on, see if you can hear it. And most of the, it's either gonna be in one of two spots. The first one is gonna be directly behind the fuel filter canister, and that's gonna be on your 03, 04, and 04 and a half trucks, unless they've been retrofitted for in the tank, which started in 05 and up, mm-hmm. which you can just do the old, put your ear to the tank. I mean, you could hear some sort of humming, you would hear something operating in that tank, or just put your hand on the back of the fuel filter canister, see if it's turning on. Mm-hmm. Next thing, take that feed line off of the injection pump where it's feeding that injection pump, see if it's pushing fuel. You should have a pretty steady, clean fuel supply coming from that lift pump. And that's gonna, you know, if you got a bunch of bubbles in there or something like that, you may wanna look at replacing that lift pump. Cause I mean, you know, you wanna have that fuel as pure, clean as possible, especially on a common rail injection truck. So.
Point of clarification. This is gonna be my job since it's time.
Yeah, okay. I talk fast on this kind of stuff.
I'm listening. Okay, so lift pump. You're gonna hear us talk about multiple different pumps on the truck. Lift pump does it kind of exactly what it sounds like. It lifts the fuel from the tank and pushes it to the engine, where your injection pump or CP3 will pressurize it. Oh man, sorry.
Taking low pressure fuel to high pressure fuel.
Low pressure and making an extremely high pressure, feed it to the rail, yeah. and the rail feeds it to the injectors. There's a few little bits and pieces in there for the most part. That's gonna be it. So when he says lift pump,
that's what I mean.
Just making sure that your fuel can get from the tank essentially to the engine.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know there might be some techs out there listening that are going, oh, Tyler, that's not the proper way to do it. Don't worry, we've got you covered too. The proper way is actually with a scan tool. Actually, it's a timed test and like a volume test, mm-hmm. And you're supposed to actuate it with a scan tool. As far as actuate that lift pump, let it do its, you know, full, like the full 30 seconds or whatever it is, and it's supposed to, there's a certain amount, I don't remember what it is. But usually, when these things are bad, they're bad.
Yeah. So, they're not moving a ton of fuel to begin with. So like if you were to say disconnect it and see how much fuel's coming out, it's like, it's bad. Like,
So, all right. So let's say that that checks out. Everything looks good there. Next, we're going to move up. Now, people will say, well, next is the CP3. Well, we're going to move past that just because the CP3 is usually pretty bulletproof. I mean, these things are out of injection pumps in general, out of any of the diesel trucks, the CP3, I would say, is definitely the most reliable out of all of them.
I can't remember the last time I heard someone do like a VP44 conversion.
Yeah, short of a P-pump.
Yeah.
As far as a modern injection pump, definitely the most reliable. So we're just gonna go past that for now because this is kind of all again on the premise of checking what's working first and then going back. So we're gonna go past the injection pump. Next kind of most common thing to fail, pressure relief valve. And that what that is again, is a common rail system. So you have a common area where all the fuel is routed to, where all the injectors pull from. And there is a relief valve that is on that fuel rail that will alleviate, you know, excessive spikes of fuel or whatever. If there's an issue or restriction or whatever, the fuel will have a chance to return back to the fuel filter canister and then back to the tank. But what happens with these things is they fail. It's a spring, it's a mechanical device, they can fail.
And what pressure is that usually popping off at?
5.9 common rail, someone is probably gonna say I'm wrong, but I believe it's 23,000, like 8 or 5 or something like that.
I think it changed from early to late.
It did, 23.5,
and it's like almost 26 on the second one or something like that.
Yeah, it's right around there, 1,000 PSI. Yeah. And we'll go over what that can do. So we're not opening any of this fuel system up, by the way, to expose you to any high pressure fuel. So if anybody's saying, because I'm about to tell you to take apart your fuel system here for a second. So the pressure relief valve, that should not open at all during crank or idle. The pressure is not great enough for that to happen unless there's obviously a problem where it's either broke or a restriction or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you would have other issues that you'd be sort of experiencing. So what happens is these things will open early. And what happens then is the rail then does not have adequate pressure built up and does not atomize fuel properly. And when fuel doesn't atomize properly, it's not going to burn. The truck's not going to start. So what you can do is on top of that pressure relief valve, which is, it's right behind the intake manifold on your engine. There's going to be, I believe it's a 19 millimeter banjo bolt. Okay. This is with a truck not running currently. Mm-hmm. Take that 19 millimeter banjo bolt off, put that off to the side, grab that return line, and this is a rigid line that's going to be attached, so it won't just like flop around. You're going to have to grab that line. You have to physically move it out of the way slightly. You're going to slightly bend it, but you're not going to hurt anything. And then you're going to start the truck. Fuel will come out of that line you moved. The fuel is going to take the path of least restriction, and you opened up the return side of that system, so fuel will come out of there. But what you're looking for is if any fuel is coming out of the top of that pressure relief valve, there should be nothing.
Not a drip, not a drop. Nothing.
Okay.
This is where having two people helps, because having someone hit the key and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so if that thing is leaking fuel out the top, and you'll be able to see it. And some people have called in and asked me, well, Tyler, there is fuel when I take that line off. Yeah, there's probably gonna be fuel sitting there. So just watch the current amount of that fuel on top of that valve and see if it gets greater. And you will see that it is leaking. And if it is, then bam, there's at least one problem that you found.
It's a relatively easy fix, not super expensive.
Yeah, there's a lot of people just block them off. We sell block offs for, I believe, starting out about $33. Mm-hmm. And then we even have the Bosch replacement full valves for right around $150. Mm-hmm. So either way, anybody that's like got a truck that's tuned is usually gonna be pushing more rail pressure than a stock truck. So most of the time you'd want a blocked off valve there just so you're not losing that rail pressure that your tuner is adding. So you're getting the most out of that device. So yeah, pressure relief valve. So if there's no fuel leaking there and that checks out, the next spot we're gonna move, and this was actually a TSB from Dodge Ram or whatever you wanna call it. And it's the fuel tubes. Now these are you'll off the rail, you'll follow the fuel line, and where that line attaches to what they call the connector tube, and that is, or the transfer tube. That is what transfers fuel from the outside of the head to internally in the head to the side of the injector. It is now they're like the 671s are stainless steel. Mm-hmm. you know, it's a fairly relatively simple piece. Yeah. The installation of them, however, you can really screw that up if you don't know what
really
you're
fast.
Doing. I've done it. The very first time I did injectors on a common rail, I put half the injectors in backwards, like flipped them. So the connector tube was on the exhaust side. Yeah. And I was like, I can't get these tubes in. I can't get these tubes in. Yeah, I'm an idiot. But I did it. I was
Everybody gets one.
I was young. Yeah. I think I was like 18 years old, maybe. connector tubes, there is a TSB for those being loose. And if that's loose, again, we're dealing with high pressure fuel here. Mm-hmm. And so you want the tubes themselves, the tip will kind of almost deform to the injector when they're seated properly. That's how tight that seal should be.
I call it like a compression mechanical fit or something like that.
Yeah, it's like two metals of dissimilar.
Yeah, this is a really bad thing, but it looks like this. And as it
this is a meme.
This is your meme right here. But like when you take the tube out, you'll be able to see a ring on there where mm-hmm. it was pressed against the injector.
Yeah,
and that's why you usually we'll tell people like connector tubes, like you should probably replace them, but I'd say two uses.
Yeah, in fact, in my mega cab that I bought, the tubes that I could never find out what the issue was with the engine until I was putting it back together. Mm. And the issue that I ended up finding was the connector tubes weren't seated. You could literally see where fuel was exiting the tube and going in between the injector and the tube seal, and you could see it right in the tube. I actually carried it around. It might be actually still at my desk. Pretty very, very important part, and it could be as simple as just torquing those tubes properly. That could save your day right there. So checking the torque on those. I know some of the back ones are hard to get to, mm-hmm. But it's if you go through four of them and see that three of them are loose, you want to get the back one. If you go through four of them and none of them are loose, then you're probably pretty good. Me, I would probably still check the other ones, but if you wanted to call it a day there, then you probably could at that point. But mm-hmm. Let's say all that is good. Okay. Now you're going, oh crap.
Now you're getting real frustrated.
Now you're getting real scared probably because it's starting to get into some bigger stuff. So the next, now this test, this is a slightly more involved test. And if there's a lot of people that don't feel comfortable doing this test, and I totally mm-hmm. understand because you can really screw this test up pretty quickly. And this is going to test the return flow of the injectors. Because what happens, especially on higher mileage engines, when these things start getting some time on them, they'll return too much fuel. The injectors will start to return too much fuel. Mm-hmm. What that's going to cause is, again, a drop in that pressure that those injectors are seeing. And if that pressure is not there, it will not atomize the fuel correctly. Because remember, pressure is everything. Making sure that you can maintain that pressure and have that proper pressure for those injectors, that's what's going to affect the starting and running of your engine. And also, this is a great test to do if you're having some fuel mileage, your fuel mileage has dropped.
Poor performance,
fuel mileage. This is a great test because this is kind of like the is your injectors wore out kind of test here. There's an allowable amount of return that your injectors can see. Like the actual maximum amount of leakage on a running engine is 160 milliliters per minute. And that's at 1200 RPMs. Mm-hmm. So holding that engine at 1200 RPMs, measuring that, you should have no more than 160 milliliters. Now, if we have a no start condition, it's 90 milliliters in a minute of cranking. Now, mm-hmm. A minute of cranking is a ton of cranking, okay?
Yeah, get a charger.
This is, again, one of those tests where you can usually tell in the first about 15 seconds if it's gonna be too much or mm-hmm. if you're within range. Now, what you're going to end up doing is on the back of the head, there is a banjo bolt and there is a line. That is the return for all the injectors. That goes back to around the fuel filter canister area. You'll want to basically it should be a quick disconnect. You'll take that line off. What I usually do is I'll take a rubber hose and I'll kind of just push it up on that line that's coming off the back of the head and get that line into a bucket. Then crank the engine. Now, if your injectors are shot, you're gonna have fuel coming out of there like nobody's business.
Yeah.
You should, this 90 milliliters in 1 minute cranking, it's literally like, I mean, this is 90 milliliters is like two shot glasses, or like a double shot glass.
I'm gonna consult the old Google here. So we can give you
I believe that's, double check that, but it's very little. So essentially, it should be like a drop, 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 drop. I mean, that's what you should see. Yeah, it
was, yeah, 90 milliliters is about 3 ounces.
Yeah, not a lot of fuel.
Shot glass.
Not a lot of fuel. What's a 160 milliliters? Just for, I mean, double, so 6 ounces roughly.
5.4 ounces.
So, yeah, that's like a, I mean, again, that's not even a heck of a lot.
Yeah, it's like a rocks glass.
Yeah, right, yeah. Now. So, again, maximum allowable leakage on a no-start condition is 90 milliliters or a double shot glass of fuel in 1 minute. And again, if they're bad, usually it's going to fill that up pretty quick. Now, if you're close to that, you may only have like one or two, maybe three injectors that are leaking too much. Now, if you don't want to replace them all and just do the three or two or however it may be, what you can do at that point then to figure out which ones are the culprit is they make a cap that goes on basically the rail. Mm-hmm. So you'll take that feed line, the line off the rail, and you'll cap it at the rail. And you'll do that, and you'll basically run this test 6 times. And then you'll see, so let's say you ran the test and you got 80 milliliters. Okay, then you capped off number 6 and then you ended up getting 50 milliliters. Well, now we know that one injector is putting out quite a lot.
Yeah.
So you can kind of rule them out that way. But me personally, again, if it's a higher mileage truck and you're already at the top end of any of these specs, for gosh sakes, just replace all 6.
Even if you use just a set of stock remands or something, you don't have to spend $1 million. It's just, I always feel bad when this happens because we usually try and recommend, you know, a set to mm-hmm. people or something like that, where I need one single stock injector, and they call back 3 weeks later.
Yeah, I need one single stock injector.
Yeah. And then a year later, they're like, I need my 7th single shot injector because it's like, the other ones, you've pretty much shot the first new one you put in by trying to match it up with the old ones, and they're imbalanced. And it's like, just get the set.
Yeah. I mean, it hurts a little, but your truck's going to run so much better. And again, if those injectors are failing, you're living on borrowed time on the others.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's say, you know what, Tyler, that checked out too. So then you're like, oh crap. So it's not injectors. It's not the pressure relief valve. It's not the lift pump. It's not batteries. It's not my fuel filter. Mm-hmm. What could it be? Well, this is when we start looking at the CP3 pump. And that's kind of the last piece of the puzzle. I mean, this fuel system is relatively simple for what it is. I mean, it really is. And actually, I missed a step that I'll talk about it at the end here, but I didn't put it in here just because it's usually a totally different symptom. And that's checking the injector wiring harness, which I'll tell you about after. But this is like, again, this is a no start condition. When there's a harness issue, usually it's like one or two. You have a misfire or something
rough
like
running,
that.
Rough running,
yeah. Exactly. So now we're looking at the CP3 pump.
Injection pump.
So this is something that you can't test really at home on your own. And this is probably where, this is the point of the podcast where the actual mechanics are going to go, damn it, Tyler, why'd you tell people this? Maybe, I don't know. We'll see.
This is
like the backyard. Like, this is where backyard tests got their name.
Yeah.
Okay, is this one. So the CP3, relatively simple pump. Again, taking low pressure, turning it to high pressure. There's one electrical connection on it, which is called the fuel control actuator, and it controls the fuel. It controls the pressure of the fuel. Volume, you know, everything that pump is doing is controlled by that little tiny little metering valve or whatever, fuel regulator, I think Dermex guys call them.
Improp.
Like yeah.
So your CP3, mechanically driven, electronically actuated.
Mm-hmm.
So it runs off the crank, or runs off as a gear in there.
Yeah.
But it's like controlled electronically, so it's not just engine RPM. It's just throw it out there.
Yeah. So at this point, we're kind of thinking that we have a CP3 pump issue. Mm-hmm. So the way to kind of test this, and again, this is a backyard test, so I don't want to get emails from mechanics going, you idiot, that's not how you do that. Yeah. I know. So what you're going to do is you're going to unplug that fuel control actuator. And what that's going to do is essentially tell the pump to go to max PSI. So if that pump is bad, it's still not going to start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if it has the capability of building pressure, you're gonna put it in a condition where it basically has to build pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So you unplug it, and if that truck starts right up, there's a good indication that you may have an FCA that is not working.
Because that means that it is building pressure.
Pump's building pressure.
And that's its job, to build pressure. So you give it a default code to basically build all the pressure you can.
Yeah.
It did.
And the truck started.
Yeah, but you took away the part that's controlling it, telling it to, like, what pressure to make it, what are, you know.
Yeah, are we idling or what are we at, yeah, you know?
You basically took away, like, the brain in between the two.
Yeah,
at this point, it's
either on or off.
Yeah, it's like, I want to go!
So that's simply what we're going to do. And is just unplug it. If the truck starts, it's going to run like crap, and it's going to idle up, and you're going to think it's going to blow up. Just turn it off immediately. If it starts, turn it off. Just start. Okay, it runs. Turn it off. That's literally.
Yeah. Don't
all
hit
you
the throttle.
Don't continue to. Okay. Don't do that. Like, this is my serious. Don't do that. This is my serious face. So there's kind of that kind of wraps it up. And again, we talked about the injector wiring harness. Fairly easy to test. Again, usually not attributed to a complete no start. Usually it's like a misfire or some, or a rough idle or something, you know, something along those lines. It's super easy. You do need a multimeter that is capable of reading ohms, reading resistance. Mm-hmm. And basically what you're going to do is you're going to take your valve cover off, and each injector has two connections on it. You're going to take those connections loose. You're going to unplug the harness off the side of the head. Whether it's an early truck and you have three of them, or a newer truck and you have two, you're just going to unplug. You're going to isolate that electrical harness, and then you're going to ohm check every single wire. And if you have greater than 0.05 ohms on any one of those wires, that means it's a bad wire. That means that it is not electrically conductive.
Conductive.
Yeah. So
big words today.
Wow, you wet my whistle.
Yeah.
I feel like I talk a lot. Whew.
That was a lot of information, Tyler.
Yeah.
Did you just block out? You know what happened?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Where am I?
So there's a lot of good information there. And if this is something where you're listening to it and you would like to have like a checklist to start going off or something like that, this is all out there. Like what he has written down here, what we have for notes, this is basically like what we have in our blog post.
Yeah.
So you can go through and look at this and read this as need be and really follow along and get a lot of your diagnosing done.
Yeah.
Now, here's the caveat. This doesn't cover really odd scenarios, like a rat chewed through one wire somewhere or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, for
or
sure.
Or the truck's already been having blown PCM issues. Or this is like, if your truck is running fine, no known issues, you get in the next morning, just doesn't start.
Yeah, and this is something that is a well-taken care of truck. Again, mm-hmm. maintenance is key. If you stop doing maintenance on things, we could have other failures. So, this is, again, some of these tests, again, real techs out there, don't get mad at me. Sorry. But no, this is, a lot of good information. If you guys have any questions, feel free to email us. Again, we have this whole thing written out in a big old, nice, long, fancy blog you can read, or you can just shoot me emails on it. My contact info is right at the bottom.
Yeah, so. Really good job. This is actually a really good write-up. I enjoy. I didn't know a whole lot about common rail stuff, so I started working here with Tyler. This is a lot of good stuff. If you don't know what you're looking at, or you're thinking about buying your first common rail, I wouldn't say necessarily use this as like, I'm going to buy a truck that doesn't start. Fix it, because Tyler just told me how to fix it. No. But like, if it's one of those things where it's like, I got to, my uncle's got this truck that's been sitting around for 10 years, and it doesn't run, and he doesn't want to fix it. And like, there's a really good checklist to start with.
Yeah, and like I said, 90% of the issues are right here.
Yeah.
Are right here.
This is going to transition to our rant here. I like my answer. So you're talking about a well-maintained truck.
Yeah.
Well-maintained truck, it's like, no one really wants to, like, I wouldn't say maintain a truck, but like, it's you think to yourself, there's so much better stuff I can do with my time.
Well, I will say when I was younger, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, it's somewhat satisfying
it is.
To okay. maintain yeah. a vehicle. It I don't is. Know why. Maybe that's just, I was just getting old.
Maybe we're getting old.
I don't know. I found there's a gray. You can probably see it. I just left it. It's in my beard right here. There's one.
I found my first gray beard here on my 28th birthday.
Oh, whew. Yeah. I guess I'm right on track.
Yeah, you're on track. Anyhow, so that brings me. So I've been on this kind of like workout kick. Like, I've always been relatively physically active, but had a little bit of dad bod coming in. Life got a little bit busy. I basically went on the whole just don't get fat regiment. Like, don't screw up everything.
Yeah.
I've never been like a big muscle hunter or anything like that, but got a hot wife, I want to look good. You know?
Yeah,
matchy, right?
You want to look good naked.
and so recently, I've just started, actually doing cardio. I've been a huge proponent of the F cardio.
Yeah.
In many more words than that, because I truly hate it. Like, I love playing sports, hate cardio.
Yeah.
And I came to the realization today, I was just doing cardio on my lunch break, that cardio is the studying of working out. Go to school, you know you're supposed to study. Hey, man, you just studied. Nah, man, good studying, I'm good, I got it. And then later on, it screws you over. And I think that's what cardio is. No one wants to do it. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. Yeah. I want to pick up things and put them down.
That's the fun stuff.
And I hate doing it. I hate afterwards, but a little bit later afterwards, like, okay, I do feel better.
Yeah.
Damn. I guess I'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
So if you're like me and you hate cardio, just give it a shot.
Just give it a shot.
I mean, but still lift heavy things. I mean, be a man.
Yeah. Yeah, for gosh sakes. Don't just run,
unless you're being chased by bears daily. In which case, send me a picture. That sounds kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
What do you got? So, you got nothing? I want to hear it.
No, I mean, I've got news, but I don't know if I want to publicly state it yet. It's regarding the bird, but I feel like it's kind of like a...
In the works.
Well, it's in the works, but I feel like it's kind of like, I might get like disowned by the diesel community.
I'm not going to spill the beans, but I think I know the best way to put it.
Yeah.
There's an Excel sheet involved.
Yes. Speaking of Excel sheets, here, this just came up. I wish I paid attention. You know how much Excel sheets help me nowadays? It's insane. You know how many cool things you could do on Excel?
Excel is badass. Yeah. If you're like 14 or 15 listening to this, I mean, I'm sure they're teaching Excel in high school now. If they're not, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But just get Excel and start learning how to do
it. You could literally get jobs just off of Excel.
Yeah. Go to YouTube, look up cool tricks on Excel or something like that. Yeah. And you'll...
VLOOKUP.
Yeah, VLOOKUP.
Dude, I got that down.
Once you start like thinking about things you can do in there and making it work, all of a sudden you're like, man, I could... You start making all these formulas. I put one number here and goes...
Yeah. Oh, I know what I want to say.
Yeah, hit it.
How ugly is the new 2020 Chevy freaking heavy duties?
The mirrors?
They're hideous. They're the ugliest truck I've ever seen.
Yeah. The GMC looks a lot better.
It looks slightly better. They all look like...
Just go in the backfield.
They all look like Titans.
Yeah, they do. They're all starting to look
like Titans. I don't know. The one I really like, and I'm not just saying this... I like the Ram, the 2020 Ram, even because I like the new half tons, the new body style and the half tons. I actually kind of like.
I'm digging on the new power strokes. I'm excited to see where the 10-speed transmission goes.
There was that one part of the grill that I was just like, what's going on there?
Yeah, but I'm sure I'll get it figured out.
Yeah, maybe we'll have an episode on just new rigs.
As so always, talk crap once you see it lifted with a proper bumper or something like that, color matched.
I don't know if I can get over that Chevy though. The Chevy is pretty ugly.
I think the
there are some good memes out there on that Chevy. Oh my God, there are some good ones.
I think the first modification people are going to make on those is like, where the hell can I get different mirrors? These mirrors are the worst thing. Like, these mirrors gave my truck AIDS.
Yeah, like, they had it so good. Yeah. Like L5P body style. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God,
it was
great. LML, great.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Anyhow.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. That was the first episode of the No Start, No Problem episode. We are going to have some others coming up. We're going to be doing a 7-3 cold start.
Whoa!
No problem episode. Hey,
cold start.
And we're probably going to get some other ones.
We might do a 6-2 cold start.
6-2 cold start.
It's going to be a picture of a starting fluid.
Is there a starting fluid, a key, and a battery charger?
Yeah.
Anyhow, thanks for watching. Make sure you leave a review. Screenshot that. Kind of stumbled right there. Yeah. Cardio, right?
Yeah.
Screenshot it, send it to Bendy Spot Products or Tao Spot Products, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.